I'm your host, Jeff Dawson, for another episode of Dawson's Domain, where we cover the spectrum of life's pressing issues and events, from politics to relationships, sports to horror, alternative history to poetry, humor to baseball coaching, and everything in between. Jeff Dawson from Dallas, Texas, and I'm here to say for a November 14th, it's cloudy, but it's 83. It's a little windy, and it beats the hell out of some of that weather I've seen from my friends up in Canada, where they're just getting hammered. I've got several friends, and I forgot how many feet of snow they've got on the ground, but it's like I tell them, keep it up there, because we don't need it down here. If you've got any questions or you want to join in on this, you can call in at 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. You can find me on Parlay at LDDJ Enterprises, Twitter at Jeff Dawson 59. Website for my books and blogs is LDDJEnterprises.com. And I also have a funnel, which is Jeff Dawson author.site. Now that needs some work, of which I'm dealing with the developer on that right now. You can click on the links to find the books, but at the bottom of the page, it says click here for more. And for some reason that's not working. And I had a couple of book trailers posted and those seem to be on the fritz right now. And for more content, I've got a YouTube channel at user director, D-I-R-E-K-E-T-O-R 59. Yeah, I spelled it wrong because my fingers got in the way. What in the hell is this? Excuse me, my computer just did something really bizarre. No, I don't want to play the last 10 days of Hitler. What the hell was that all about? Okay. So let's talk about this election. Yeah, that's been first and foremost liberal, conservative. Independents are kind of staying off to the side going, well, Jorgensen's not even in the mix, so what do we care? It was historic in many ways. Over 150 million people cast their vote. Now, that's pretty impressive. Anybody who knocks that, I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, basically 45% of the country voted. And it really shouldn't come as a surprise because if you go back to Super Tuesday, y'all remember that? Back in March before the pandemic absolutely exploded and shut everything down, shut down the convention, shut down the rallies, it shut down everything. 19.4 million people voted. There were 16 states, but three of those don't show their results. 19.4 million out of 45 million that voted in the general election. That was an outstanding turnout. That's 43%. And they were really tight races. If you looked at Oklahoma, if you looked at North Carolina, you could see. And the Democrats came out in force on Super Tuesday. They had like 11 million voted versus the Republican 7. And to a degree, we're kind of seeing that with these current results of Biden having, 78 million and Trump has 72. I mean, it is a phenomenal turnout. No one can deny that. So who is the president-elect right now? Well, by all rights, it is Joe Biden. Okay. He is leading the Electoral College. Yet you don't hear anyone on the left complaining about the Electoral College right now. Yet we did in 2016, if you remember that. And there's part of our division. Why is it okay when one side wins, they don't like it, the other side wins, they do like it, and it's just like a bad windshield wiper or ping pong match. We just go back and forth. Well, this year we like it. The next system, we don't like it. The next, make it up. And I'll be honest. If you look at the difference in votes right now, if you take Oregon, Washington, and California, just those three states, that is 6 million votes more that Joe Biden gained. Just those three states. New York was a little closer. But if we don't have an electoral college, then if you go and look at it, 16 states can decide the fate of 50. I mean, these three states are accounting for the difference in the popular vote. Forget the electoral college, just popular vote. Three states. What if it was a Republican that had those three states? Do you think the left would be excited over that? I doubt it, but the math is what it is. We have an electoral college so that every state has a say and their voters' opinions count. It's really that simple. It's not antiquated. And I watched some Bill Maher, and I'll get into that a little bit later, but there's a reason we have this. We are a republic. We are not a democracy. Our House of Representatives and our Senate is supposed to be based on the Republic, but thanks to Harry Reid and his nuclear option, he changed that. So then the Republicans used the nuclear option this year and they all lost their minds. You guys pushed for it. Why? There's a reason you needed 66% in the Senate and the House when it comes to voting on issues. And confirmations and all this, not, well, just one person can flip it. That is called power. That is called abuse of power. But that's neither here nor there. It is what it is. So why does each party want to keep changing the game? I don't understand that. But the sayings of the day, until the votes are certified by each state, we are being hit with two lines. Suck it up and deal with it. And it was Whoopi Goldberg that said, "We did it for 4 years, so you just suck it up." Would you like to tell me what you and that fine show that View sucked up for 4 years? Not a damn thing. You bitched, you moaned, you complained, you carried on. How many times did we hear, not my president? Impeach him. They wanted to impeach Donald Trump the day after the election in 16. Well, you have to kind of go through the inauguration process to earn the title of President of the United States. Then, if you want to, you can think about impeachment, even though the man's only been in office for a day, whichever side it is. So, what are you supposed to suck up? Yes, is there voter fraud? I can't answer that question. The only people that can answer that question, it isn't Fox, it isn't MSNBC, it isn't CBS, it's none of the medias. Please turn them off because they have to fill up airtime. And it doesn't matter if the stories are true, if the stories are false, we just have to fill up airtime. We had 4 years of Russian collusion, Ukraine collusion, Russian collusion. Oh, that's right. It came back a third time. CNN reported like 2 weeks before the election that the Russians were interfering again. Really? Would you like to explain to me how they interfered? Are you suggesting they interfered with Biden? Are you suggesting they interfered with Trump? Or are you just trying to fill up airtime? Well, you decide that. I've got my own opinion on it. So, should we have recounts? The state of Arizona is the one that comes to mind. In 2016, 2.3 million people voted in the presidential election. Not bad. Pretty good. In 2020, 3.2 million people voted in the presidential election. That's an 800,000 increase in voters. That is 43%, 41%. That's phenomenal. Excuse me. No other state showed that type of increase. North Carolina was second at 18%, which, as I understand, North Carolina has now gone red. Okay. 41% increase in voters in 4 years. Democrat, Republican, Independent. If you have that big of a gain, I believe that needs to be looked at. Where did all these 800,000 people come from? Did they just not vote in 16? Did Arizona have a huge explosion in population? I heard one analysis of what they came from California. Well, wait a minute. If I'm watching the news, all these people from California were moving to Texas. Or maybe I missed a story. Now, I have a friend in Arizona, and I did a post and put it out there for her, and she said, well, it was because of the way Trump treated John McCain. That's a valid argument. But 800,000 more people got pissed off because Donald Trump didn't get along with John McCain. Yeah, I'm going to have to think about that. Now, every other state that I looked at, and Pennsylvania was one of them, Michigan, Wisconsin, their turnout increased 10% from 16. That to me is, that's believable. There was a lot of interest. Obviously, we had over 28 more million, 28 million more votes cast than we did in 16. So the numbers hold out. That makes sense. But 41% increase in one state? Tell me you wouldn't look into that, that you'd be real curious that Arizona's population increased that much. If it did, okay, that's fine. So that means that approximately, just take a statistic that like 1.5 million more people moved into Arizona and got their voter registrations in place, made all the appropriate paperwork. I still want to look at that. That's like making money on one job and your margin was, say, 20%, and then you do an identical job and your margin is now 45%. You think an accountant isn't really going to look at that and going to wait a minute. Side by side, these are the same jobs. They took the same amount of time, they took the same amount of material. They took the same amount of equipment, yet you record a 25% higher margin in profit than you did on this other job. Yes, I'm going to be looking into that. No problem. Okay, do you trust the recounts? I did a post on that on my Facebook side on mail-in ballots. That seems to be the big debate, the mail-in ballots. I don't know how they're checked. I don't know how they count them. Each state's different. The computer ballots like we have in Dallas, that was simple. You got a stylus, you tapped on who you wanted to, you got to go through it, you got to preview it. You got to verify it, and then you got to print it. You take it over to the machine, you put it in, and it does not change hands. The only person that holds that ballot is the one, is the voting official there that hands it to you. And from that point on, it never leaves your hands and it goes into the machine. You insert it, they just monitor it to make sure the machine works properly. The message comes up, the vote is counted, and you're good to go. And just briefly, these major networks, it's pathetic. Fox is bumbling around. And I saw an article where their ratings have tanked badly. Well, shit happens. What can you say? And then CNN on the other side is just utter fear mongering. I don't even understand how these people, any of them, really have a job. I don't understand how the producers have a job, their writers. I mean, our media in the United States is a it's a mess. And Bill Maher actually brought that up in his new episode, but I'll get to Bill in a minute. What news are we getting that's real, that's truthful, that's honest, that's unbiased? I mentioned a while back WGN and their News Nation. Some people don't like it because it doesn't have the oomph or the chutzpah or the excitement or the hard-hitting headlines. Well, hey, that's the news I grew up with. They gave you the story, and you went on from there. And I'm old enough to remember every night we got the count on the casualties in Vietnam. We got to see the POW films that were smuggled out and released so that people could try and identify the soldiers that had been captured. There was no glitz and glamour and bright lights and happy music between every segment break. They had 30 minutes to give us the world news. And the local stations had 30 minutes to give us the local news. That was it. No flash, no splash, no banners, no hooray for our side. It was the news. That's all it was. It wasn't a show. Big difference there. And a good example is I can't stand this guy, but then that's not unusual. John King, one of CNN's anchors, wanted to go through his analysis on the map of if Trump could win. Well, his combination, my granddaughters could have figured out that, well, he's forgetting this state and he's forgetting that state. He's standing right there and he's manipulating the map, showing you, well, if he takes this one and this one and this one, he still can't get there. And if he takes this one, and he still can't get there. Well, I don't know where he went to school, but he never included Wisconsin. He never used this combination of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona. That's 41 votes. Michigan, I know, has been in the mix. There has been talk of Michigan because of the computer glitch, and I believe that's why Georgia is having their recount because they use the same system. Biden was at 290 when I checked this morning. Trump was at 232. If you take 41 electoral votes out, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, it's 249 Biden to 273 Trump. I guess he forgot to look at that combination. I'm shocked. Not really. And another thing to check that no one has brought up in the senatorial races. When you all filled out your ballot, did you only vote for the president? And forget the senators and the congressmen and the local issues. Did you just gloss over those and just say, oh, I'm going to vote for Biden Harris or Trump Pence? I'm done. Now, I will admit on the ballot in Dallas, I think we had at least two, if not three, Democratic judges that were running unopposed. I didn't vote for them. But I didn't get a chance to do that analysis. When I thought of it this morning is, how do the votes in each state for the president match up with the votes cast for the senators and the congressmen? Do they match? I don't know. Is that worth looking into? I don't know. But I do know this. If I find a whole lot of ballots that only voted for Trump or Biden, I'm looking at those. Because the normal person who stood in line, are you telling me they only went in there to cast one vote for one candidate and didn't give two shits about the rest of them? I'm not saying it happened, but I think that would be a excellent parallel to see how the votes stack up. Because if you've got 500,000 that just voted for the president and 2 to 3 million that completely filled out their full ballot, well, I want to look into that. I want to make sure these people really here. Who are these people that stood in line in some places 4 hours, in some places maybe an hour? For me in Dallas, it was nothing. We don't have our precinct isn't that big. It's pretty much commercialized. A lot of businesses, not a lot of residential living. So there's never been a line, no matter what year I voted. So it took me, I don't know, 10 minutes, maybe the most. No big deal. But that's something that I would want to look into. And that goes back to Arizona, that 800,000 more people voted in 20 than in 16. Now, another issue, everybody wants to talk about the divisiveness in this country and where it came from. Well, I went back and did a little analysis, and it started with Ross Perot Jr. when he ran against Herbert Bush Sr. in 92. Bush Sr. said there would be no new taxes. Congress passed a tax bill. Perot got his panties in a wad. And he didn't run once against the Republican candidate. He ran twice. He did it again against Bob Dole. He split the Republican Party. If he wouldn't have split it, then Clinton doesn't get elected. But this is where it started, and it's just gotten worse. And we really saw it in 2000 with the Gore Bush Jr. race, and it coming down to Dade County and a couple of hundred votes to determine who the president is. And it hasn't gotten any better. That's where this really started, because we didn't see this during Reagan. We didn't see it with Carter. We didn't see it with Nixon. We didn't see it with Johnson and Kennedy. We did not see this mass divide, but that's where it started. And yeah, I'll tag it on Ross Perot Jr., little Mickey Mouse son of a bitch. But that's okay. Now, and it's not getting better, and we see it. We're seeing it right now. We saw it 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, 16 years ago. This division is just getting worse, but it's really taken a unexpected turn that none of the commentators, none of the experts, and none of these insiders, none of these analysts, and definitely none of the pollsters can figure out. We are at a really bizarre crossroads. Yes, it was an historic election, but the divide is just as historic. And the reason I say that is I can't stand Bill Maher. Let's get that perfectly clear. I think he's a loudmouth, pot smoking son of a bitch that's hard left. Okay, that's his prerogative. That's fine, but I don't have to like him. But on his new program, the one that he just released, you would think that he would be elated. For 4 years, he wanted Trump out. He hated Trump. Everything was true. The Russian collusion. He was just like the MSN. He's just parroting what the MSN was saying. Yet, when it came to the stories of Biden and Ukraine and Biden and China and Hunter Biden's computer and Burisma and all this crap, well, that was just irrelevant. That doesn't mean anything. That's not proven. That's not true. And that's how they've approached this. Well, if we say it's not true, it's not true. Bullshit. Our God, you drug us through 4 years of Russian collusion, and then it was Ukraine collusion and the quid pro quo. Yeah, we're going to see some quid pro quo here in a minute. Bill Maher's confused. Even his audience was confused. And when you watch this episode, he's like a bat. He is a windshield wiper. He's going back and forth. His panel is going back and forth. They don't know what to do. Their side won, and they are confused as hell. Because now the Democrats are fighting amongst themselves. A real shocker there. But they can't understand why 72 million people voted for Trump. Well, we don't understand why 78 million voted for Biden. Decency. This is the word you hear now. They voted for decency. And I've seen plenty of posts. Eloquent speaking. Yes, Trump was a dumbass when it came to speaking. He had good points, but as time went on, his brashness cost him. I wrote an article on that in May that, Donald, this is your election to lose. Don't talk about COVID unless you know the facts, which he never knew the facts, yet he kept talking. Strike. That's not one. That was strike two. And three, his constant attack on the media. Jesus Christ, man. That's like me going up to face Nolan Ryan at the plate. He's going to strike me out 100 out of 100 times. Do you think I'm going to go to the press and bitch and moan that he's better than me? Well, if I did, I'd look really stupid, which Robbie Ventura found out the day that he charged the mound and Nolan Ryan tied him up, got him in a headlock, and just pummeled the hell out of him. Of course, Robbie admitted later that was probably the worst movie ever made in his career. Dumbass. And it was. Take on Nolan Ryan. This man ropes calves, you moron. Yeah, how'd that work out? So Maurer's confused to the point that there's this big march, big Trump march in Washington, D.C. right now. And Maurer said only 50,000 Trump supporters would show up and BLM would be there and they would school those redneck boys and send them out of town. Hey, Bill, it ain't happening. Sorry. But they are completely confused. Now, do you want Trump to win? Those of us on the conservative side would say yes. Do you want Biden to win? Those on the left are going to say yes. Well, there is a lot at stake here, and it is the health of the United States of America. And here's why. Some of you might have known that Black Lives Matter sent a letter dated November 7th, 2020, to the Honorable Joseph Biden and the Honorable Kamala Harris. Yeah, we'll think about honor for a minute. And I want to read this to you. Dear President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, congratulations on your election to the presidency and vice presidency of the United States. Like so many, we are relieved that the Trump era in government is coming to a close. As we celebrate his electoral demise, we also know that his political exit does not ensure an end to the intolerable conditions faced by Black people in America. A well-thought-out, community-driven, fully resourced agenda that addresses the particular challenge faced by Black people must be a top priority. We are requesting a meeting with you both to discuss the expectations that we have for your administration and the commitments that must be made to Black people. And the word Black is capitalized. The B is capitalized. I didn't learn that in English class. Without it, the resounding support of Black people, we would be saddled with a different electoral outcome. In short, Black people won this election. Alongside Black-led organizations around the nation, Black Lives Matter invested heavily in this election. Yeah, along with Act Blue. Vote and organize became our motto, and our electoral justice efforts reached more than 60 million voters. We want something for our vote. We want something for our vote. We want to be heard and our agenda to be prioritized. Yeah, I went to their site and I have not found exactly what their agenda is that needs to be prioritized, and I'm not going to speculate. We issue these expectations. We issue these expectations not just because Black people are the most consistent and reliable voters for Democrats, but also because Black people are truly living in crisis in a nation that was built on our subjugation. Up until that point, the United States has refused to directly reckon with the way it devalues Black people and devastates our lives. This cannot continue. Black people can neither afford to live through the vitriol of a Trump-like presidency, nor through the indifference of a Democratic-controlled government that refuses to wrestle with its most egregious and damnable shame. They are calling out both sides. That's very important to remember. President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris, both of you discussed addressing systemic racism as central to your election campaigns. Both of you also expressed regrets regarding your record on issues impacting Black people. The best way to ensure that you remedy past missteps and work towards a more just future for Black people, and by extension, all people, is to take your direction from Black grassroots organizers that have been engaged in this work for decades with a legacy that spans back to the first arrival of enslaved Africans. That's the first time they call themselves Africans and not African American. Interesting. We look forward to meeting with you at your convenience to begin the immediate work of Black liberation. We would like to be actively engaged in your transition team's planning and policy work. Again, congratulations on your win. Let's get to work. Sincerely, Patrice Cullors, on behalf of the Black Lives Matter Global Network. So what do you get out of that? Well, here's my take. If Trump wins somehow, some way, and to be honest, at this stage of the game, I would rather he concede. Now, for my conservative friends, don't lose your mind. Don't get upset. If he wins, cities are going to burn. That's just going to happen. This summer was a precursor to what hell BLM and Antifa will rain down on major cities. If Biden becomes the president, this little letter, we want something for our vote. Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis were prime examples of what these people wanted. Those are Democratic strongholds. They wanted the mayors out. They wanted the governors out. They wanted the police commissioners out. They wanted the government done. If Joe Biden becomes our 46th president and BLM and Antifa don't get what they want from Joe and Kamala, you're going to see a repeat of what we saw this summer. These people don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. They only care about power. If Donald becomes the president, get ready for martial law. Because in the Democratic states, we've already seen what happens when they call out the police, when they call out the state troopers, when they call out the National Guard. Stand down. There won't be any standing down this time. Donald Trump will not have a choice. He will have to declare martial law. He will have to get the military involved. And if you think that those troops are going to go into those cities peacefully, quietly, happily, they're going to go in with orders to shoot to kill. They won't give them a 3 to 4 hour grace period when a curfew is set. They're going to go in to restore order. Think about that. Our streets will run red with blood. That is a frightening thought. I do not want to see America go down that road. Joe Biden gets in, and until we've seen all of their, this is basically a demand letter. This is a demand letter from BLM. If Joe and Kamala tell them, now, come on, man, this is government. It takes time. I hear you. I feel for you. You've got my back. You know what they're going to tell him? You got X amount of days to get off your white old ass and meet our demands. And if you don't, your cities are going to burn. These people aren't going to be shy about it. They weren't shy this summer. They don't care who you are. They don't care what your title is. They only care about what they want. I had a discussion this morning with a good friend, Beres Burgosian, born and raised in Armenia. He was born in Armenia, raised there, and then he served in, of all places, the USSR military. He was a sergeant that was, he was stationed at Rostov-on-Don down by the Black Sea. Yeah. He had the hammer and sickle on his uniform, but somehow he got out and prospered in America. But we were talking about Antifa, BLM, and I got to thinking, I've got a good correlation, the brown shirts from Nazi Germany, late 20s, early 30s. The brown shirts were Hitler's muscle. That's all they were. They were the muscle. They brought chaos to the streets. They put down the opposition, the communists, the socialists, anyone that stood against National Socialism, the Democrats. I mean, he wiped them all out with force. But Hitler was a brilliant politician because he knew what the brown shirts were. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have no idea who BLM and Antifa are. The only thing they know is that they supported us and they're behind us and we can control them. Yeah, you better go check your history. As Hitler came to power and Hindenburg made him chancellor, Adolf was in the process of building a professional army. Because remember, he was a professional soldier during World War I and was injured in a, I believe it was a mustard gas attack. And he spent time in the hospital. And he knew the only way Germany could get back on the world stage was with a modern professional army, air force, and navy. The brown shirts don't fit any of those categories. They had served their purpose. Hitler didn't bash Rommel, who was head of the brown shirts, and those people actually thought they were personal friends of Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler had no personal friends other than himself. When he realized that it was time to revamp his organization, the first thing he looked at was the brown shirts, thugs, criminals, ex-soldiers of World War I. There were, as we've heard the term, there were a lot of bad elements in the brown shirts, and Hitler knew that he would not be able to move forward with these guys roaming the streets. He only needed them when it served his purpose. His purpose had been served. He's now the Chancellor of Germany. So what does he do? Well, they called it the Night of Long Knives. He wiped out the entire head of the brown shirts. And of those in the organization, he offered them a couple of choices. You can join the Wehrmacht, or you can go to Dachau or Buchenwald. In fact, some of you are going to go there anyway, just because you don't belong on the streets. And I don't like you anyway. And that's what he did. He eliminated his opposition. Well, this is where Joe and Kamala are underestimating these people. Big time. He doesn't control them. They have more money than you can shake a stick at because BLM is a division of an outfit called Act Blue that I looked up probably 8 or 12 years ago when people were talking about the Republicans or the rich party and the Democrats or the poor party. Act Blue led everybody in their war chest. They had outpaced the top Republican donor, I forgot what company it was, like 4 or 5 to 1. This thing is a giant clearinghouse. This is who BLM is associated with. If you want to come up with a conspiracy theory and say, well, they're part of the world order, that's fine. You can make your own determination. Joe Biden and Kamala have no idea what they have their hands, what's coming their way. You cannot reason with these people. You cannot negotiate with these people. We saw it across the country. And if they don't think that Joe's administration is has the priorities right and are moving in the right direction at the right pace, they are going to tear these cities apart. And then Joe is going to have to call the military out. How'd you like to be in that position? Do you see Joe Biden looking at the American military and say, man, you got to put this down. You got to put it down now. They won't be able to blame Trump for this. The MSM is going to be standing there with their tongues hitting the ground going, what the hell just happened? We fly the BLM flag. We've got the Antifa banners. We're on your side. They don't have a side. The only side they have is theirs. That's it. And if the head of this dragon isn't cut off, no matter who wins, our cities and our streets are going to burn and be filled with blood. There aren't going to be, the media is not going to be able to say, well, these are peaceful protests. There's not going to be anything peaceful about it. They're going to turn cities like Portland and Seattle that showed no backbone, they're just going to gut them. The governors aren't going to know what to do. And they're going to call the president and say, what are we supposed to do? And he goes, we'll stop it. With what? They've outgunned us. They're 15 to 1. What are we supposed to do? Do I want to see that happen? No, but I do see it coming. No matter who wins, one of them is going to really have to deal with these people, and they're going to have to deal with them really, really hard. You can't be like Chamberlain in 38 and wave a piece of paper that says, we have peace in our time. Adolf has agreed to this. We'll give him a piece of Czechoslovakia. And we won't have war. How the hell did that turn out? 7 years later, 60 million dead in a continent, absolutely gutted to the core. We have peace in our time. Yeah, no. I don't see that happening. I don't want it to, but damn. I'm afraid that's where we're going. Doesn't matter who wins. But what I do see is we are almost at a point where I believe Americans as a whole are tired of Democrats and Republicans. They're tired of the bitching. And they're tired of the moaning. They're tired of the infighting. They're tired of the accusations, the finger pointing, the I'm right and you're wrong, the suck it up, deal with it attitudes. Like what Ross Perot Jr. did with Senior and Bob Dole. I believe America is on the precipice of a third party. One that will have policies for Americans. Obviously, you can't have a policy for every American and make them feel good. You just can't please all the people all the time. That's fairyland. But if you can get 70 to 75% of Americans on your side with good policies that make sense, whether it's foreign, domestic, immigration, economy, and stop the infighting and get good candidates that understand that message and understand the Constitution and have read the Federalist Papers and believe in the principles that this country was founded on and not a political party that it's founded on, I believe we're almost there. And that person will not go around and blame the Democrats and blame the Republicans for all their ills. That person is going to be able to take all the issues out there, analyze them with a clear eye and mind, with good people that don't have knee-jerk pedia reactions, but can also disseminate the issues at hand and have a good conversation and come up with, this is how we want to take, this is the direction we want to take the country. These are the policies on the foreign and domestic side that best help the United States. It's not going to help this party or that party. It's going to help the citizens of the United States. I think we're almost there. And I think it can be done. Now, if you are one of those that revels in the hypocrisy and the insanity in the bobblehead MSM anchors, who most of them couldn't develop a thought if it slapped them up the side of the head and told them what was going on, then fine, you continue to wallow in the mire. But this is what I got out of Bill Maher's show. He doesn't know which way to go. His audience didn't know if they were supposed to applaud, if they were supposed to laugh, or what they were supposed to do, because even Bill doesn't know which direction to go. And he is a voice for the Democratic Party. He's confused. He hasn't been confused for a long time. I watched just enough of him to understand where he's at. There's a lot of confusion, but what there isn't confusion on, and I'm kind of surprised he didn't get into it, is BLM and Antifa. This is going to be the tipping point. This organization is going to be the tipping point in America, and this is what's really going to wake people up. Trump becomes president, they're going to lose their mind. Biden becomes president, and they don't get what they want, they're going to lose their mind. This is a no-win situation, and one of these men needs to step up to the plate and get with the program, because this is the threat to America. I hope you enjoyed this episode and possibly learned something, or have challenged yourself to do some research on your own to verify what points I brought up you might disagree with. And be sure to check out my books on Amazon. I write in every genre. I have Twilight Zone episodes, horror stories, alternative fiction, a vampire's taking on the Third Reich, a modern day science fiction time travel saga that involves the Fourth Reich trying to take over the United States government. For the women out there who want a true love story from a man's perspective, that's about Debbie Beck, my high school sweetheart. We reunited after 30 years. We got 7 months together before breast cancer took her away. That is Love's True Second Chance. And that's all I have today. Y'all have a good weekend, and I will see you in 2 weeks. I hope you enjoyed our time together. I know I did. Without you wonderful listeners, this show would not be possible. If you want to know more about me and how my brain works, that's a scary thought, check out my books at jeffdawsononamazon.com, websites LDDJ Enterprises and jeffdawsonauthor.site for upcoming releases and teaser excerpts from past and present publications. You can also contact me at Facebook, LDDJ Enterprises Publishing, or email LDDJEnterprises@gmail.com or on Twitter at JeffDawson59. Have a great week and look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Dawson's Domain.